Welcome everyone to our special webinar today, Using Text Mining to Improve Patient Care. We're very excited to have you join us and very happy as well to welcome some very special guests. Today we will learn about a novel use case of applying text mining tools during and after patient rounds in a hospital. Our special guest will discuss his innovative approach to aid physicians' decision-making on their daily visits to their patients' bedsides. With a tablet computer, he uses real-time text mining from Medline and other sources to extract critical information. In this unusual role as the informationist, he is bringing a traditional medical practice into the 21st century. As I mentioned, we are very happy to welcome you to our program today. This is an audience of researchers, data scientists, and statisticians from the healthcare professions, pharmaceuticals, and biotechnology. You are joining us from across North America and Europe, as well as in such countries as Israel, Korea, Russia, and India, and you are all very welcome indeed. So our agenda for today, we will tell you a little bit about the sponsor of the program, Copyright Clearance Center. Then we'll move on to learn about where this is all taking place, where this really innovative approach to text mining is happening at the Georgetown University Medical Center. From there, we'll understand better, we hope, the role of the informationist and why he has chosen to use text mining. And we'll hear about the development and the evolution of this particular solution because it really points in a very exciting direction for the future of medical research and particularly the future of patient care. We'll hear specific cases over the years where this approach to text mining has really yielded great results and brought many patients to full recovery. And then briefly then, let's tell you a little bit about Copyright Clearance Center. Copyright Clearance Center, for those of you who are not familiar, along with its subsidiaries RightsDirect in the Netherlands and Ixis in the United Kingdom, is a global leader in content workflow, document delivery, text and data mining, and rights licensing technology for thousands of publishers, businesses, and academic institutions. Copyright Clearance Center provides content workflow and copyright compliance solutions for more than 35,000 companies with employees located around the world. These compliance solutions help those companies mitigate infringement risk through company-wide rights for text and video content. Many of you may already be familiar with Copyright Clearance Center. We hope you know that we have an extensive copyright education and training program from webinars to videos, and you are very welcome indeed to look through all of that on our website at copyright.com. So with that, I would like to welcome our speakers today, our presenters. First, I want to introduce from Washington, D.C., Jonathan Hartman. Jonathan, welcome.
Thanks, Chris. Hi, everyone.
Hello, Jonathan. Jonathan Hartman is the Senior Clinical Informationist and Head of Data Management at Georgetown University Medical Center. He holds a Bachelor of Arts degree in Anthropology from Kent State University and a Master of Library Science degree also from Kent State University. And joining us from the UK in Cambridge is Guy Singh. Guy, welcome.
Hello, Chris, and hello, everyone else.
Guy Singh is Senior Manager, Product and Strategy, Product and Strategic Alliances at Linguamatics. He has a joint role which spans both managing the I2E product and the partner ecosystem around it. In his product role, Guy is responsible for product management, product marketing, and guiding the product strategy of I2E, an award-winning enterprise text mining product. His strategic alliances role also holds responsibility for recruiting and managing partners around the world. And welcome to them both. And at this point, I would like to ask Jonathan to tell us a bit about where you work there in Washington, D.C., and its importance as the setting for this innovative approach to text mining.
Okay, well, I work at Georgetown University Medical Center, which is an internationally recognized academic medical center. A lot of significant research is done here, and I work specifically at the Dahlgren Moore Memorial Library, which is actually part of Georgetown University, and serves the medical center. I also work to provide services to the MedStar Georgetown University Hospital, which is on our campus and is owned by a MedStar company, and they contract with our library for library services. And one of the services we provide is my service as an informationist. So I want to talk a little bit about this in a little bit of detail, because I don't think informationist is really a term that a lot of people are familiar with. So what an informationist is, another term for it, is an information specialist in context. And informationists provide research and knowledge management services in the context of clinical care or biomedical research. So it's started as a medical term. It's also used in other contexts and industries, but in the medical fields, basically medical librarian with some more specialization or experience in medicine. So what I do, a lot of what I do, basically about half the day every day, I go on the hospital rounds with the clinical teams, and we have a pretty good-sized hospital, and there's quite a few services and clinical teams on those services. So what I do is choose a team that needs the most help at the moment and has the most questions, and there are different ways I can determine that. So when I'm on these rounds, and usually the rounds consist of an attending physician, two or three residents, and two or three medical students. So it's quite a large group of people, and they discuss, have pretty in-depth discussions, but quick discussions about each patient that they're around on. And the rounds can be very mobile. They can very often we're going to a lot of different patients' rooms and also going to different wards and areas in the hospital, even changing floors in the hospital. So it's important for me to have a mobile device in order to provide service on the round. So I've chosen to use an iPad, which is very convenient for me and easy to carry around, and also has a big enough screen that I can show several of the physicians at once and medical students something, and they can kind of all read it together, which helps save time. And usually I can retrieve, the questions are very varied, I have a lot of experience with this and a lot of resources I can use, so usually I can retrieve 90 or 95% of the information on rounds, and usually within a minute or two, which is important because the rounds move pretty quickly and there are a lot of patients to cover and there's not a lot of time to spend on each patient. So I'm able to retrieve most of the information on rounds, but sometimes because of the difficulty of the question or lack of research, I have or do need to go back to the office to find out more and provide the information later. Now, I don't have to do that as often now as I used to in the beginning because of text mining, which I'll talk about now. So text mining allows me to access information faster and more efficiently. I started back in 2012, actually just started talking to LingoMax in 2012 in the fall, and started really developing this text mining application in 2013. And I started off with Medline, and LingoMax provided access to Medline, which is abstracts only though, but still the most important medical information resource. And I was able to access that at first, and now we added more recently full text, and we'll go into more detail about that. But by text mining both of these, I've been able to eliminate the need to go back to the desk or as often, at least, and to retrieve information to provide it later. The critical thing here again is the on-the-spot answers help the clinical staff to make decisions promptly, more promptly, and improve patient care. I think that's something. And also, this is a pretty new service, and not that many hospitals are doing this, or medical centers are doing this. And I think it's really innovative, and it's really helping physicians make decisions faster, which of course helps patients. And especially critical care, patients in critical care, where time is of the essence to get the treatment that they need as fast as possible. So the full text, really, the big advantage of full text is, of course, we have access to, I now have over 2 million full text articles loaded on a server here at Georgetown from Science Direct, British Medical Journal, New England Journal of Medicine, and that full text provides a broader and more comprehensive set of information, and it allows me to go right into the article, to pull out the part of the article that's relevant to the question, which in the past I used to have to scan through the articles myself, or even just scan through the abstracts, which can be very time consuming when you have a large number of abstracts to go through. So it's just much more efficient.
Well, thank you, Jonathan Hartman, for that introduction to your work there. And what I think is interesting is this notion of the evidence-based medical practice that this is helping to really improve upon. And it's not just that you get the materials right away, but you're getting probably the most recent publications as well. And so whatever refinement in research there has been, those doctors can take advantage of it right there. At this moment, I want to remind you that if you have a question for Jonathan Hartman or for our other guest, Guy Singh, please use the chat box in the lower right-hand corner of the screen. Let us know what's on your mind, if you have clarification, whatever. We'll get to as many of those as we possibly can. Now, at this point, I do want to bring back Guy Singh from Linguimatics. And Guy, Jonathan sort of set the stage to give us the picture of what this looks like at Georgetown Medical University Center. But talk about, please, the evolution of this solution, just how all of this came about.
It is quite innovative, and even now, I think what Jonathan is doing is unique. But we actually started looking at this 4 years ago, and it's pretty groundbreaking at the time because I spoke to Jonathan and he told me about, you know, his use case, i.e. that he's accompanying physicians and that he needs to answer certain questions and would it be possible to set up a way to answer these questions more timely. Now, he wasn't actually saying he wants to answer them on the spot at that point. At that point, he was just wanting to search Medline, and Medline itself was, the Medline searches were bringing back too many results. And so he wanted a more efficient way to get to the answers within Medline that he was looking for. And so we looked at a desktop-based solution then, and then one of the ideas that he threw out was that, well, it'd be really great if we could access these kind of answers, because the answers that we were bringing back through text mining were much more relevant. And he didn't have to cut through all the noisy hits and read through documents that weren't relevant to the question that was being asked. The text mining was bringing back much more accurate answers. And so he was saying, well, I wonder whether we could actually get this to work on an iPad, because I do PubMed searches, Medline searches on my iPad. And at that time, you know, we didn't have an iPad-based solution, and so we looked at, okay, well, what would be involved in doing that? And we'd just released a new version of the software which allowed you to build web front ends to it, and so we built a web front end to it, and we tried it out on the iPad, and it looked okay. And it was really a proof of concept, and so that was in 2013. And in order for this to work, right, what I wanted to find out was okay, what kind of questions are you looking at? Because we would have to build separate searches for each of the questions. And so Jonathan came up with some examples which are essentially a combination of diseases and therapies for those diseases. And we had to build a separate query for each permutation. So, for instance, one disease, one therapy, two diseases, one therapy, three diseases, one therapy, et cetera, et cetera. So each permutation would have to come up with a separate one. And to begin with, we just started with five. He tried it out, and we overcame some technical hurdles because it was the first time we did it, you know. Once we got it working, started using it on the rounds. And what happened was that people really liked it, because essentially it was answering questions on the spot, And that's the big thing. And the first ward that Jonathan was working on was the Pediatrics Intensive Care Unit. So these are children in critical condition. So if you can make an answer on the spot, rather than having to go back to your desk and coming up with the answer later in the day or the day after, it can be life-saving. And so, you know, that we decided that we would try that out. It started to work, and people really liked the use. And what happened was that the questions became more varied, and we had to build new queries, new searches for each question. And so we kind of rapidly expanded from 5 searches to something like 26 or 30 searches, and they just continued to grow more and more. And so the popularity increased, and also the demand for it increased. And then beyond Medline, we started to look at what else could we add. So so that brings us on to, you know, what is the set of data sources today that that Jonathan is looking at. So Medline, very popular, you know, 24 million plus abstracts. And really, Jonathan is interested in the most recent evidence, so in the last 5 to 10 years. And we update the Medline information on a weekly basis, so all the information is completely up to date. Sometimes you can't find the answer in abstracts, and at that point you need to look in the full text for further information about the therapy, you know, what happened, further evidence. And so full text is really, really important there. And with the help of Elsevier, we got hold of some full text articles from Science Direct. Again, it only covers a subset of the full Medline corpus, but still valuable. In addition to that, two highly regarded journals, the British Medical Journal, the BMJ, and the New England Journal of Medicine, you know, smaller number of articles, but, you know, much more detail and the most recent information. I think that's the key thing. Okay, so that's the corpus, and then in terms of, like, you know, what happened when Jonathan started to introduce this service was that the physicians had never come across this before, this ability to walk around and have this almost kind of like, you know, limitless range of information at hand that Jonathan was the portal to. And so, you know, they because it became a sort of like standard practice, he just became a standard part of the team. And once some of the other wards started to hear about it, they wanted access to that information too. And so moving on from Pediatrics Intensive Care Unit, the PQ unit, he went on to do this in the General Pediatrics Unit, as well as the neonatal, the brand new babies intensive care unit as well. Again, the key thing here being able to provide information in a very timely way, because these are critical cases. Added more content sources, which I've talked about, and more questions came about. You know, we're looking at expanding the information as well. There was questions coming in from the nursing side as well. And in order to cope with all of this, Jonathan then had to hire more people. So clearly, you know, like an innovative service, but also, you know, very popular as well. And if we have a look at, you know, what this looks like, and the key thing is that it's very simple. You know, it, this is a mock-up on an iPad. Actually, I believe Jonathan uses an iPad mini because it fits into a white coat pocket more easily. If we look at this here, this is where you select a search to run over Medline. Once you've selected that search, you then go and choose which of the predefined searches. Remember I said there was about 25 or 30, so these are the different combinations, for instance, two diseases where, and with three words apart, with the therapy, et cetera, et cetera. There's various combinations of things, but we have to come up with a separate search for each of these. Now, later on, if we get time, I can talk about what kind of improvements we can make with regards to this, because we've added some new flexibility or some new features for flexibility into this. But once you've chosen the search, it just describes to you what the search is, and then you run it, and then you get the results back, you can see that the results here are presented by default in a tabular form, and they're clustered together. And if we look at the top hit there, we're looking at liver diseases, arthritis, mass screening, and then here is the, and over on the right-hand side, it shows you where the hit occurred. And you can very quickly review all these hits. And if you want to go into them, you can click on that, and it will take you into the actual underlying document where it was found. But because the hits are presented to you in a structured form in this way, in a way where there's a relationship or an assertion, you don't necessarily need to go into the document straight away, because the appropriate assertion to your question is being provided to you there. Okay, the third strategy that Jonathan uses is that, first of all, he's going to look in Medline and something called UpToDate as well. And if he can find the answer there, a lot of the time he can, then it's okay. But otherwise, we need to be able to go and move into a full text article search. And then at that point, that's when the Science Direct and the BMJ and the New England Journal of Medicine come in. And what I'm going to show you is something that's now unique to I2E. And in the first instance, what was happening was that Jonathan was actually, if you look on the left-hand side, phase one, Jonathan was actually looking over Science Direct, BMJ, and New England Journal of Medicine separately. That and his Medline searches would actually be done in a separate search. So in effect, doing two searches, one over Medline and then one over the full text articles. But if we go on to the next slide, what we'll see is that the I2E software from Lingvomatics has something unique, which is the only software in the world that can do it. It has a federated text mining built into it, which means that you can run a single search over multiple data sources regardless of where they are on the network. So now what Jonathan can do is from his iPad or from his desktop, he can run a single search, and that search will run over the full text articles which are located on-premise. This is what the I2E Enterprise stuff is. It's on-premise, his I2E server, where he manages all the full text articles that he has subscribed to, and at the same time run the search over a cloud-based hosted version of Medline that Lingvomatics provides to its customers. And when the search is run, all the results are all merged together in a single unified set of results. And this means that, when you do the search, it can run over everything, and you don't need to do two separate searches. Okay, so at that point, I think I'm going to just stop and hand it back to you, Chris.
Right. Well, thank you, Guy Singh, and we will take questions later at the end of the program. If you have them, please use the chat box in the lower right-hand corner of the screen. We are seeing some of those come in. Those are good questions. We'll get to as many of them as we can. So from Guy Singh, we've heard about the evolution of the technology at Lingvomatics. And now, Jonathan Hartman, back to you there at Georgetown University Medical Center to tell us about how this all works in the hospital itself, and really what it means to patients and to doctors.
Okay, so these use cases are just some examples of how I've been able to use I2E. In the beginning, I was just using Medline and then moving on to full text, because this is over a period of years. The first case here was in the PICU, pediatric intensive care, and we had a critically ill child with type 1 diabetes, autoimmune thyroiditis, and celiac disease. And the physician rounding on the child at the time was Dr. Gabriel Hauser, who was vice chairman of pediatrics at Mets at MGUH. And he was a real champion of my service in the beginning. He's since moved on, but he's director of Children's Hospital in Philadelphia now. He was very excited about the service of having information available quickly. And he wanted to, this is actually a quote from him, he wanted to know right there and then about the importance of the coexistence of these disorders. So I did a search. In those days, I was doing a little more simple search, three keywords in the article title or abstract query, and I found two relevant articles from Italy showing type 1 diabetes is often linked to autoimmune disorders like celiac disease and thyroiditis. And Dr. Hauser was very excited about having the information and able to make the diagnosis right then and there and make the treatment plan right then and there. So that was a great success. I actually wrote this up in a newsletter article in the Medical Center newsletter. So that was kind of the beginning of my use of I2E on rounds. Okay, and another case in the PICU a little later was a physician wanted to know if prolonged use of loop diuretics could cause long-term hearing loss in NICU survivors. It was about NICU survivors, but the patient had gone on to the pediatric intensive care from the NICU. And this is really an interesting case because this is a very good example of something where the physicians were kind of going on received wisdom of just what had seemed to be happening. And what had seemed to be happening over the years is that NICU patients who had been on loop diuretics were getting hearing problems. And in the past, the physicians had kind of not really known if this was really true or not, this association, if it was really causal. So the physician wanted actually had me look this up and see, is this really a cause of hearing problems? And I did a drug and disease query and found an article showing that hearing loss was not directly related to the use of furosemide, and the information helped the physician determine an appropriate treatment. So this was a very good example of evidence-based medicine where the physician was able to continue to use the furosemide and not worry about it causing the long-term hearing loss. Very, very important change in treatment based on the information that I got. And internal medicine is another area of the hospital where I've do a lot of rounding and have done over the years. I started with the chief of internal medicine, which was great on rounds. And here was a case where a physician wanted to know if there was a relationship between pneumatosis, cystoides, and scleroderma. So I did a two diseases query and found an article, case report, and a literature review showing that PCI may be a harbinger of end-stage scleroderma. And information helped physician determine an appropriate treatment on the spot. I remember seeing this patient, and it's got pretty amazing over the years because I've seen thousands of patients, but I actually remember these cases where I was able to find something that made a difference, which kind of stands out in your mind. If I wasn't there and if I didn't have access to I2E, the physician would not have had that information there, and would have to research it later and may or may not find the information in a timely manner. So, again, another success story. And this was a case where I began using full text for patient care, just the beginning of it, so I wasn't doing anything too in-depth yet. But a pediatrics resident needed information on fulminant Kawasaki disease and its early cardiac manifestations. And this is a good example of the question that you can see the complexity of this question. It's not just, you know, it's fulminant Kawasaki disease and just cardiac, early cardiac manifestations of it. So these are very specific kind of questions that I get, which are not, you know, when people imagine, which is understandable, you know, what I'm doing on rounds are thinking, well, you know, I'm looking up, and I am looking up, you know, the latest treatment. As I think Chris was mentioning earlier, I am always trying to find the latest treatment because doctors don't always have time to know all the latest treatments because there's so much research being done and they have so little time to be accessing research. You know, they have to do that on their own at night and on the weekend when, you know, they're tired and they don't, you know, and they have other things to do. So, you know, so doctors really don't have a lot of time to research things. And, you know, they do try to stay up to date with continuing education courses they take and, you know, looking things up themselves. But it's very hard for them to stay up to date on every, you know, on every nuance. You know, they get patients with all kinds of different diseases. You know, they're not just, and I'm rounding with doctors who are not just specialists. They're not just, you know, I'm rounding with general care doctors who have to cover all different types of diseases. So it's really impossible for them to stay up to date on the latest treatment for every disease. So this is a good example of that. Here's a case where actually this is ongoing where I'm helping a biochemistry professor who's building a comprehensive database on all articles ever published on inflammatory bowel disease, Crohn's disease, ulcerative colitis, all individually, and each one's relation to genes and miRNA. And this is something obviously really in depth, and I've had to use my desktop, and it's been the Pro interface on the desktop, and this something where actually I've had to tweak the display several times so that the professor can see exactly what she wants to see in the readouts in the tables. But I've been able to do that very successfully. And then in summary, I2E enhances the range of information that I can access and makes it much quicker to access information that's really buried in an article or in an abstract. So I can retrieve information now that was either I couldn't retrieve before or couldn't retrieve in a timely fashion. And it also helps me, again, to answer questions on the spot, on rounds, within a minute or two, and not at a later time, which is much more efficient. And I'm also spending less time searching, even when I go back to my desk. So I have more time to answer more questions and be more productive. And I think that's it for me. And back to Chris.
Well, Jonathan Hartman, thank you very much indeed for that glimpse of your work at the Georgetown University Medical Center and the way that these are this is an application that's life-changing and life-saving for so many people. And I wonder, I guess my first question before we get to questions from the audience is, as far as you know, you're the only one doing this right now, but do you think this is, do you expect this to become more common in the future? It certainly would seem to me that a lot of people should be jumping onto this bandwagon here.
Yes, I started doing this actually rounding in 2009, which was quite a while ago, and I wasn't aware of it. I think there was someone in England doing it, but I wasn't aware of anyone else really going on daily rounds. And now I'm aware of several other librarians doing it, but I think it's still very rare, and I'm quite sure I'm the only librarian, or I haven't heard of any others that are using text mining on rounds, and certainly not full text mining. So, but I do think it will increase in the future. More librarians are rounding, as I said, and also Linguomatics is now coming out with a new interface soon, which will make it easier to do text mining on rounds. So even the end users, the physicians themselves, could start using it.
Well, what's interesting to me, Jonathan and Guy, seeing there at Linguomatics, is the kind of questions that we are seeing today are about the intersection between text mining and medical practice. So there's a lot of expressions here that I, as a layperson, don't always immediately recognize, but I'm going to do my best with these questions. If you have a question for Jonathan Hartman, or for Guy Singh, please use that chat box in the lower right corner of the screen, and we'll try to get to as many of them as we can. A question here that I think probably is for both of you, but perhaps, Guy, we could start with you, is from Ian about the ontologies that we use for those predefined searches you described.
Sure, yes, Chris. So we use standard ontologies. So the kind of things we use are MeSH, NCI, EntreeGene, and we have a number of our own ontologies as well. So we have a disease ontology, which is kind of like a combination of branches from NCI and MeSH. And we have things like being able to search for numerics, measurements, and also chemical structures. So there's a whole range of ontologies, and our general approach is that we will use the public domain ones that are recognized and well thought of. And then if there's something missing, we'll either license that or we'll build it ourselves.
Jonathan, any input on that particular issue around ontology?
Yes, this is a very good point to make, is that I'm able to use all of those ontologies and others that, besides the ones Guy mentioned, all combined at once. So in the past, I was really only using MeSH, searching Medline with MeSH. And so now I have all these other ontologies which have relevancy to what I'm doing because of the broad range of what searches I'm doing. So it's really powerful to be able to use all those different ontologies together.
Yeah, and I should say I didn't mention MEDRA and SNOMED as well. We support those as well. So.
All right. Well, is there
any NCI?
And
yes, and MeSH. Yeah. Right. Well, as I mentioned, and I concede this point right at the top, this is at the intersection of the very sort of bleeding edge, if you will, of text mining technology and of medicine. So some of this here is really fascinating, but a little deep for me. But I want to ask a question that comes to us from Eric, and it's about how one works with the results that you get. And so whether or not, he's asking, is it viable to have a query that tells you if there's a statistically significant lack of an association? In other words, not just that you're looking for associations, but for looking when you have two different drugs, two different diseases, the lack of an association. Jonathan, does that make sense? Is that something you've seen?
I'm not sure. Guy would probably know better than me. I'm not the world's greatest expert on using I2E.
I can take that one. So the question here is basically saying, can you run a search and say, okay, well, I found 10 articles on a disease X, but no articles mentioning disease Y. One of the things with I2E is that you're allowed to basically put in items that are either optional, so was this mentioned or not mentioned, include both those results, or find me everything that doesn't mention this. So basically you can negate something as well. And those items can be ontology items, so they're basically, they can be classes of items. They don't necessarily just need to be words.
Right, and so really I think what you're trying to say there, Guy, is there can be some real great precision applied. And I wonder whether that's also an answer to a question from Rob, who is asking whether this tool has any advantages over standard database queries. How is it an improvement over standard database queries?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. And basically, in a database, the information is stored in a structured form, i.e. it's usually stored in a schema, in a table somewhere, and the information is nicely fielded, i.e. You take something and you say, okay, well, this is going to go in this. We has been designed structured text, narrative text. So that's why, you know, when we look at things like Medline and we look at scientific literature, you're talking about lots and lots of unstructured text and narrative text. So, you know, someone would actually have to read that, interpret it, and then sort of pull out the information. And so what I2E is doing is it's going in and it's using natural language processing to go in and interpret the meaning of the text and extract out the relevant information and then present it to you in a structured form. So one of the use cases is that people use I2E to take information from documents, from articles, extract out the information, and then store it in a database in a structured form.
All right. Well, we have a question from Julia that is for Jonathan. And Jonathan, Julia wants to know about the availability for the round participants of the queries in their own time, either on their desktop or otherwise. So they have you as a companion on the rounds, but do they then have a chance to look at these things more closely at another time?
No, they don't. I can send them the results of the search. I can email them the results in an Excel format table, but typically I don't do that. First of all, they don't have access to Lingomatics. Our license only allows me and one other librarian access at the moment. So they aren't able to do that. I'm hopeful that in the future we can provide them access and make it so that they can do their own searches and see and work with my searches as well, possibly.
Right, and I think that addresses a point, Jonathan, that I know is of concern to you. Obviously, the doctors understand they value the results, that they can put this information to work right there at the bedside. How well they understand text mining is an open question, and perhaps not at all. They've got a lot else on their mind. So the more that this technology infiltrates into, permeates, I should say, into other participants in the rounds, not just yourself, but to the doctors, the interns, and others. The more that they have access to it, the more likely they are to really seize upon the value of it.
That's right. I mean, this is still very new, and you have to realize, I mean, I'm the only one in the world using this. I mean, how much exposure has the doctors had to this?
Right.
You know, almost zero.
Well, there's a question from Brandon. Brandon's asking about any plans to add voice-to-text semantic queries here, voice-to-text. So I suppose that would be just another way to make this more accessible to really anyone on the rounds. Do we know about that, Guy or Jonathan?
Yeah, sure. I can take that. No, we don't support voice to text at the moment. It's an interesting point, you know, something that we could look at in the future, certainly. Right now, what we're working on is, Jonathan alluded to it, is that we are working on a brand new interface to allow novice users to be guided through the search. So they start typing in something, for instance, a disease name, and it does an autocomplete on the disease, and then, you know, it might suggest a therapy to be used sort of like in the query as well, or it might suggest a drug or a dosage or whatever, depending on what's actually going to be sort of like put in. The software will try and guess what it is that you're trying to do and then suggest an appropriate query. So it's a much, much smarter, slicker interface. If you saw what we had before, we were just basically predefining a set of queries and the user had to select from a predefined list. In a newer model, we're planning on being able to be much more flexible than that and be able to do that on the fly.
Well, indeed, and you know, we had some agreement. I can see in the chat box here from the participants that notion of voice to text really is an amazing and quite exciting notion for people. And Jonathan, I suppose perhaps one way to round all this out here. I know you give presentations on this topic, and you have certainly a lot to tell us that really does point to the future for. applying 21st century technology into that very traditional practice of rounding, as you call it, there at the hospital. Any specific thing you would like to see? I mean, we've heard about voice to text. Perhaps that's something you might like to see. But give us an idea of your vision for this new field of the informationist.
There's not one thing I can just say. I think there are many areas of increasing numbers of information, such as myself, going on rounds and helping the physicians in real time is important, but also physicians using it themselves, I think, and that's really, and even automated searches where something called info buttons where searches can be done in the patient record itself and pull out information from the patient and enter it into a search, and Lingomatics could be one of the resources that could be used for this, and the automated search runs, the physician wouldn't even have to run the search themselves. It would just be automatically done and results presented. So I think there's a lot more technical innovation that's coming that'll make this all much more efficient.
Well, we'll look forward to hearing about that. I want to take this opportunity now to thank you both for joining us today and to thank the audience for being with us for our special webinar. If you have some interest in text mining but haven't had any chance to practice it yourself and wonder about what the benefits are, we have a white paper available on our website at copyright.com, 3 reasons to consider to consider text mining. They, of course, include enhancing research and development efficiency, increasing discovery, and monitoring drug safety, all good reasons to consider text mining. And that white paper is available to you from Copyright Clearance Center with our compliments. I want to finally then thank the participants on the webinar today, Jonathan Hartman, Senior Clinical Informationist and Head of Data Management at Georgetown University Medical Center in Washington, D.C. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome, Chris, and thanks everybody for attending.
And I know, Jonathan, you welcome questions directly to your email, which is on display right there. So thank you for being open to that. We did get quite a number of really interesting and very intricate questions, and I'm sure that people will be looking forward to learning more about it from you. I also want to thank joining us today from Cambridge in the United Kingdom, Guy Singh, Senior Manager of Product and Strategic Alliances at Lingomatics.
Thank you very much, Chris. It's a pleasure to be invited, and thank you very much to the audience as well for attending.
Indeed, and finally, thanks to my colleagues at Copyright Clearance Center, Michelle Lawson and Robert Gagin, for all their work on this webinar. For all of us at Copyright Clearance Center, have a great day.